Thank you so much. I have no relationships to disclose at this time. What I'd like to cover with you today briefly is to tell you about the shortage of public health laboratory directors. I'd like to tell you about some strategies we've used in California. And then I want to describe to you a program called Lab Aspire. I feel strongly about the value of public health laboratories for all the reasons listed: disease detection, control and surveillance, food safety, environmental health protection, and for purposes of improving testing in the laboratory and procedures when we have new threats. Right now, we have an aging number of professionals in the laboratory sciences. We know recent work showed that from 2002 to 2005, there was a 26% vacancy rate in state public health laboratories amongst director-level positions. We also know that since the 80s, the number of clinical laboratory science degree programs have decreased by 50%. I want to tell you right now, it is a big financial, time, and institutional investment to train at this level. So, like the country, the California Department of Public Health is experiencing an unprecedented need for professionals at all levels. We also appreciate that part of this vacancy rate includes, in the last couple decades, new requirements for people that run laboratories. In the past, you could come into the laboratory, work your way up, and become director. Now you need additional credentials, experience, licensing. It is intense, and there has been no concurrent infusion of funding or support for that elevation of standards. In California, the people that run public health labs have implored various levels of government to turn back those requirements, saying that we can't meet these leadership needs with the current standards. And I'd like to say that is like me going out and advocating against medical degrees or licenses or board certification because we just can't afford it and we need practitioners. So we all understand there's a gap there in terms of what is reality on the ground. But these are the challenges that we in public health are going to work on together. Workforce needs without a lot of support and investment. So let me tell you a little bit about the career ladder to a public health lab director position in California. That first bullet is being a director. As a director in California, you have to have a doctoral degree, you have to be board certified, you have to have 4 years of laboratory experience, two of which you have to have proven you were a proficient supervisor in a high complexity laboratory, and you have to have a public health microbiology certification. And then there's all the groups underneath that. So I'm going to show you these quickly. You can revisit these levels at your convenience and look at the concurrent training, but I'm here to tell you it's a lot. And then you do all that to get paid not so well, because the infrastructure is such that it's still based on the 1950 standards and what was required in the past and the fact that you could just previously be a director by being on the laboratory bench for many years. So we've got a lot of work to do. Okay, so what was the program? In California, we identified the need, the barriers. We came together as the Department of Public Health. We brought academia together with us. We brought our lab directors together and other partners, including the local health officers. We also understood that it was an important and imperative program that I'm going to describe to you, but I would also like to highlight that the program I'm presenting to you is eliminated on July 1st of 2012 because of the budget crisis here in California. So I am, number one, very thankful that our leadership, despite the closure and elimination of the program, has invited me to speak with you today. Basically, I am here. This is the funeral for the program. And the beauty is that I was able to hold this and to tell you of the good work that we did in the time frame, and hope that the message will resonate throughout the country and in your institutions, and that when good times come, that you'll remember the laboratory in your work. So I'm going to go through a lot of the rest of the slides very quickly. Again, we decided to take $2.5 million of general fund revenue in the state of California and divide it up against all those levels I described to you. We put it in positions of individuals as assistant lab directors in the laboratory, postdoc fellowships. We even gave people money to get their doctoral degrees. People who were in doctoral training had to give a year back in a public health lab of work after they graduated year for year, so it was a payback component. And we decided to also generate some of that public health micro-certification training. Again, we had some funding. That funding was reduced back in 2008-2009. The program started in 2006 and again was just eliminated, limited dollars. Has the need disappeared? No, not at all. But that's how strapped we are in California. We also gave some funding for evaluation and recruitment to all the vacancies, you know, going out to conferences and recruiting the best people to our vacancies. We also had UC Davis, one of our partners, go and get additional external funding from foundations for this work to make sure that this workforce was also diverse. So this is our advisory. Again, the umbrella is the Department of Public Health. The advisory committee that informed us were the grantees and other stakeholders, including local laboratories, again, UC Davis for evaluation grant writing, UCLA, various postdoc programs and doctoral degrees, as well as UC Berkeley, and our state laboratory reestablished a postdoc fellowship. As you can see, I have some graphics here to try and explain some of the complexity of the training and all the different pieces that are required. Again, I'm not going to go into that detail here, but needless to say, we also, during the time, really did the research and surveyed the labs that we have in California to see where the need was so that we could basically create a strategy in this funding that really met the need, the real practical need in the laboratory. So again, let me go very quickly. What we established with it was that there were shortages everywhere. We also understood that in the next 3 years, back in 2010, we currently need 10 lab directors in our 36 laboratories. 9 are expected to vacate those positions in 3 years' time. And then you can see all the numbers of other people that are needed. And these are genuine vacancies that are very difficult to fill with all the requirements that I've just described to you. Here you see various jurisdictions that are also in need. And you may think like, wow, they shouldn't have any vacancies. But I'll tell you, this is a shortage nationwide, and that the people, when educated, could go to really high-dollar positions, be immediate directors, and yet reference laboratories in California require this elevated standard set by the federal government. So, again, our philosophy was today's students become tomorrow's leaders. We've looked at this broad coalition. We developed a website that was fabulous. Here you can see it. It is no longer up. We also did our best to educate through our partners. We created recruitment materials like this poster that we shared with teachers to get them interested in laboratory sciences. We had undergraduate literature. We had recruitment at all levels and newsletters. We created a DVD about what it is that they do every day, interviews, virtual tours through the laboratory. It was very exciting. And we were at every conference. Lab Aspire is a big name. I'm sure many of you heard about it. We won awards even here at APHA. You can see us. That's me in one of the booths once upon a time with my colleagues. We were at career fairs. We did regional events with the local jurisdictions, colleges. We were ultimately able to support 33 trainees over the life course of the program. These alumni are out there now in the laboratory, so we feel that for the funding, the investment made, we've already had some superior outcomes. We have ongoing trainees, however, that were cut off from funding. They're going to fight. They're going to continue. They're going to fund it on their own. 10 doctoral students between UC Berkeley and UCLA, and 4 postdoctoral fellows. And the reason I'm being so explicit is if any of you know of any opportunities that these individuals can come into, especially the postdocs, I would be very open to any network or communication that you have. This is a picture of our trainees so that you can see these fabulous individuals. And that is my presentation. Questions?
Have you tried, stealing from other states, people, to get them to move to California?
We've tried everything. The question was, have we tried recruiting directors from other states? And I will tell you that and the American Public Health Laboratory, or the Association of Public Health Laboratory Directors, can confirm this, that the shortage is everywhere. So you may be surprised to find that your own states have similar critical mass in terms of hoping people stay in their jobs. But yes, we have. Well, I would say that, let me first start with how proud I am about what the state laboratory and our network of local laboratories does. It meets a very high standard. It's a reference laboratory. They are able to run 8,000 different types of specimens and tests. That is not typical. That only matches levels of laboratories like at the Centers for Disease Control and the military. In California, we take health very seriously, and when there's a threat, an unknown something, we have the manpower to figure out what it is. We have a network. When hantavirus was a problem in Yosemite, guess what? It was our leadership that was able to figure out it was hantavirus, and we turned on a dime because of this very robust system. So what I can tell you from that is that we have no intention of turning back the standard. What I'm telling you is what the people on the ground were feeling because they were so desperate to get someone in there. But what I'd like to see is funding for these fields. Anything like Lab Aspire would be our desire. We know that state general revenue by itself is insufficient. It would be nice to see a federal match. But I want to warn this group interested in workforce that when the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act passed in 2010, many important issues were authorized, like the National Commission on Workforce, but they were never funded. They were never funded. And my other point is that when funding is available for workforce, it's often for the lowest ranked health profession support to get jobs out through the Department of Labor. It isn't for this caliber. So what I'm asking you to do is think about what is it in public health we depend upon, and hopefully as we go back to our institutions, make sure that those investments are made in various areas that impact laboratory science and education.
So your plan would be to reinstate better training to get to fund people for their doctors and not to change the credentialing standard? I'm just not clear.
Yeah, the credentialing standards will not change. Those are hard and fast. It has been for the past almost 18 years now.
Yes.
It's just been we in California have previously been fighting it because we couldn't afford it, and we still can't afford it.
But I'll tell you why, because I'm from Massachusetts, where we've had a big problem in one of our labs,
Oh, well, I'm not.
Right.
But we as a public health community need to make clear that the funding is, does not exist.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.